The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. And the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there. They themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do, that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Money, especially cash, is just a sign, right? Everybody gets a little bit excited and, like, more interested when Father pulls out money out of his pocket. Right? But this $10 bill is just a sign. Now, it's a very reliable sign because at first when you learn about money, you're just like, oh, that's cool colored paper that I guess somebody put a 10 on, and so it means $10. I don't really know what that means, but that's nice. But then when you need to go get some food or you need to go buy something and you give them the $10 bill at the store and you're like, wow, it's not just a $10 for me, but it's a $10 for everybody. And regardless of what that means because of inflation and all that jazz, it will always be $10. I shouldn't say always, but all throughout my life, it has always been $10. Probably throughout all of your lives, it has been $10. Because it's a sign not of some magical thing out there, but it's a sign that's backed by the reality of the United States government, right? Federal Reserve Note of the United States of America. So as long as the government there and our economy is okay, then this does mean $10. But what happens if the government or the economy goes kaput? Is this still $10? It's still $10. It's just $10 doesn't mean very much. Right, the sign of the $10 might become worth more just to set on fire and start as kindling if our government or economy goes kaput. Now, that has never happened in our lifetimes. Praise God, hopefully it will not. Right? But in places like Venezuela, just a few years ago, they had to print 500,000 and million-dollar bolivars, million-dollar notes, because their economy had gone down so much that they needed that to pay for stuff. And so people would take 10s and 20s and 50s, and they would light them on fire because, frankly, it was worth more to light on fire than to go try to pay for something. Because this is just a sign. Again, a very reliable sign that all throughout our whole lives, we've been able to use it for $10. But it's only pointing to the reality that it's backed by the government. That through our government, this does mean something. But if that reality goes away or changes, then this sign doesn't mean very much at all. But I use the example of money because, like I said, for us, this $10 is very reliable. That's why I'm putting it in my pocket and not giving it to the servers right now. that throughout our whole lives it has meant that it's $10. And that can go up and down, but we've come to trust the sign maybe even more than the reality. And I actually think that's what happened to the Israelites in the desert. I think that's an echo of what's happening to the crowds in the gospel with Jesus today. Because for the Israelites in the desert, they received this sign. Heard about it in the first reading, that there would be manna, this bread, this very mystical and magical bread that would show up every morning. They would have that, and they would have meat to eat from quail every morning and every evening through the whole 40 years in the desert. Just imagine that for a minute. Imagine just if you went out to your mailbox every day and you had enough money in the mailbox from your neighbor to go get a sausage, egg, and cheese from McDonald's. 40 years ago, maybe that was only $2.50, and today maybe that's like $4 or $5. But every single day for 40 years, that money showed up and said, that's for you to go get breakfast. Have a great day. Imagine for the first few times you would kind of double check it and make sure that it works and take it to McDonald's and be like, I think this is good, but I'm not sure. And maybe even after a week or two, you might call and talk to your neighbor and go, so this is just going to, like, I'm very grateful, but, like, this is just going to happen for forever, or how do you want to do this? I'm like, yeah, just want to make sure you got enough food. Okay, great, yeah, I'll take it. Right? And then after a few months, maybe a few years, you would just come to rely on it. You just know that it's going to be there. You wouldn't even really think about it. And in fact, after those 40 years, if it went away, not only would you be a little bit upset, but I think it would be easy to lose the reality for the sign. And I think if my neighbor just stopped doing that, I would just call my neighbor and be like, hey, man, where's my $7? I wouldn't say, hey, remember how you provided for me for all that time? Maybe could we do that in a different way, even if it's not the $7? Then it wouldn't be about trusting in the person that it came from. It wouldn't be about the reality of the sign. But I would just want the sign again. That's what happens to the Israelites when they get ready to enter the promised land. But it's also what happens in the crowds today. That after Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fish to feed the 5,000, then he goes off away from them, and they chase him down across the Sea of Galilee over to the city of Capernaum. But it says Jesus knew why they were coming after him. It's not that they wanted to believe in the reality of the sign, that God in his goodness could provide for them in a moment of great need, just as God provided for the Israelites for their 40 years in the desert. But instead, they just wanted more bread. They just came to Jesus and they said, you know how you did that thing last night for dinner? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Could we just do it again maybe like for breakfast? And like maybe for a snack this afternoon? And then maybe again for dinner tonight? I don't know, it just looked pretty easy for you. Maybe you could do that. That they just want the sign. And Jesus is wanting to point them towards the reality. He's saying, yes, that sign was real. The bread was real. It filled your bellies. But he's saying, don't just accept the sign. Instead, look for the reality that is behind the sign. And in this moment for Jesus, that is Jesus himself. It is that he is actually the bread of life. That he, as the second person of the divine Trinity, that he is meant to come and give us life, not just here in this world, but life that endures forever. So as they go back and forth and the people are questioning about it, of what kind of sign he can do, you can just imagine Jesus' face kind of falling in frustration. That it was good that he did the sign. He doesn't want to take the miracle back. But he's trying to tell the crowds, don't just accept the sign. I think of my example with the money. Don't just accept the dollar bill, but look for the reality that's truly behind it. And for Jesus, that's the fact that we can trust and rely on God's providence. That in his goodness, he actually wants to provide for us each and every day of our lives, the physical things we need, but also the things that actually lead us to eternity. So we don't just want to accept the bread or the things that are momentary, but instead use those in a way that can lead us to trust him for eternity. That's what the manna in the desert was supposed to be for the Israelites. We heard in the book of Exodus in the first reading that the people kind of grumble. They come to Moses and they say, you know, you brought us out into the desert, but I guess we're just going to die because of famine, which isn't technically slavery, but not really much better. So So Moses is like, okay, sorry, guys. I'll go to God and see what he wants to say. And God kind of responds by saying, okay, I will give them what they need. But why is it that God provides this manna in the desert? He doesn't say, I'm going to give them manna and quail so that they don't die. I forgot that these pesky humans need food, so I will give them food. No, instead he says, tell them in the evening I will give you flesh, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, so that you may know that I, the Lord, am your God. So that you may know, and I would add, and trust that I am the Lord your God. It's not just that God has power to do these things, but he's saying, I want them to know that they can actually trust me. That it wasn't just a mean guy that brought them out of slavery to be a new kind of master. But instead, I came to be a father to them. And so as a good father, I will provide for these things every single day. But I don't want them to gather it up and have enough in store for 3 months. In fact, if they had enough for even just one day, or more than one day, they had enough for 2 days, the next day it would spoil. They'd have to go out and gather it again. God could have done this any way he wanted, but he wanted them every single day for 40 years to go out and be able to see that this sign is reliable. Not because the bread was important, but because it showed that God, in his goodness, was reliable. It was meant to show that they could actually trust that if he guided them with food through the desert for 40 years, then when they got to the promised land, they could get rid of the sign. And they would be able to say, Lord, I actually trust that you will give me everything that I need today. Sure, you'll give me food and water and the things that my body needs, but you'll also give me that love and support and that virtue that I need to become a saint, to be led to the life of heaven. I think that's the same reality that Jesus is pointing to the crowds in today's gospel and wants us to hear. But there are many signs and ways that we can come to know and trust in God's goodness. There's many things in our life that are these signs, just like the multiplication of the loaves for the people. But so often we just try to look or try to grasp for the sign again. We think, well, okay, God provided for me in this way, so let me try to make sure that that happens again so God will show up again. Instead of trusting that he and his goodness will provide for us even if the circumstances change. Even if it looks more dire or more difficult for him to be there, the point is to know that he is reliable. That the reality behind the sign is the thing that we can trust. Remember, there was a time that I really felt God's mercy in the sacrament of confession, that I realized that I really didn't deserve to be forgiven of my sins, and yet God, in his generosity, poured that upon me and loved me even in my sins. That was a great experience. That was a great sign of the reliability of God's forgiveness and his mercy. But I kind of misinterpreted the sign, because I remember a few weeks later, and I didn't feel that close to God. I was trying to pray, but it was kind of all the same. And the thought literally popped into my head of like, well, I guess I need to go sin a little bit so that I can go to confession, so that I can receive God's mercy and forgiveness like I did a few weeks ago. And I said that out loud, and I said, I don't think that makes sense. I don't think the point of that experience in confession was so that I could rely and cling to God in confession, so I need to go sin every once in a while to be able to experience his mercy. But instead to realize that his mercy and forgiveness and his generous love, even when I don't deserve it, is going to be there. That is the reality that I can trust in. Not just the sign or the expression of that in the sacrament of confession. So Jesus wants us to know that he can give us the bread of life. But he certainly does that in the Eucharist. He does that in so many particular ways. But I think here at the beginning of the Bread of Life discourse, he just wants us to realize that that's not just the sign. That's not just the physical bread. But the, like the signs, we see that he is the Bread of Life. He is the one that is the reality behind the sign. He is the one that we can trust in. In fact, I think that's why he taught his apostles to pray and to include the petition asking God to give us each day our daily bread. And in the Greek, that's not just daily bread. The word that we translate as daily is epiousios. Epi means over or above, and ousios means the substance, the thing that we encounter. So in Greek, it would really be, give us today, Lord, our super substantial bread. I think the Greeks use that word because they're saying that includes the physical stuff we need. But Lord, it's not just, can I have enough bread in my stomach for today? But instead, let me know that I can trust you for the things that are eternal. That when my life's a mess, that I can actually turn to you and know that you are a good and loving Father who provides an abundance for his children. I think Jesus taught that prayer to his apostles because that's how he prayed. That when he turned to his heavenly Father, he said, Lord, I know that you'll give me enough bread in my stomach for today. But also help me to know that you'll provide for me in all the circumstances I encounter. Help me to have perseverance when I encounter crowds that don't accept my preaching or my miracles. That when I face even suffering and persecution, that I can know that you're there and will bring good out of it. That in many ways, that's what he prays in the agony in the garden. That when he's preparing for that suffering and his passion and death, he's saying, Lord, give me today that super substantial bread. Not so much worried about what goes into my mouth and into my stomach over the next few days. But when I'm suffering, when I feel alone and abandoned, help me remember that reality. The reality that you are with me and you provide for us at every moment. Brothers and sisters, let us pray that that is the bread of life that we seek. And when we encounter Jesus both in the Word and in the Blessed Sacrament at this Holy Mass, that we can know he will give us all those good things. Not just to accept the sign or to rely on it, but instead to accept that reality, that God in his goodness will provide for all our needs. That yes, we pray that he will give us what we need here in our bodies, but also he'll give us those spiritual things that will lead us to eternity with him in heaven.